What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Save up to 50% right now at our spectacular 4th of July sale. Blinds.com is the better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online. No hidden fees and no pushy salespeople in your home. Choose from premium blinds, shades, shutters, and more. We even have outdoor shades for backyard summer get-togethers. Do the measure and install yourself, or let Blinds.com handle it for you. No matter how many window coverings you order, installation is one low cost. Plus, our design experts are always ready to help you make the perfect selection with a free consultation. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you'll rest easy with Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com's spectacular 4th of July sale now. Save up to 50% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dive into a world of electrifying anime excitement with Hulu Animeham, your anime destination. Unleash the mayhem with Hulu's huge curated collection of anime shows, from legendary classics like Naruto Shippuden, Dragon Ball Z Kai, and Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, to the latest sizzling releases like Sandland, Mission Yosakura Family, and tons more.
Why are you fixated on me?
Because you're my friend.
That's right. Get fixated and get your anime fix with Hulu Animeham, your anime destination.
Base hit. Could win it. The pitch. Swing and a liner into right. Base hit. Here comes McCutchen. He's going to score. O'Neill Cruz with a base hit off the lefty. The Pirates walk off the Cardinals. 5-4 Buccos.
Pirates win. Pirates win. Buccos over the Cardinals last night. 5-4. As you heard, O'Neill Cruz. It's after the Pirates were down 1-0. They go up 2-1. The homer by Tellez makes it 3-1. And then the best reliever, the most consistent reliever that the Pirates have had this year, Colin Holderman, gives up a 2-run homer. That ties it. It's the Cardinals. You think back to all those damn games against St. Louis that got away, or the years that you just couldn't beat St. Louis. You get into the 10th. There's a ground ball to first. Chapman forgets to cover first. It's first and third. Nobody out. Get a sack fly. You're going into the bottom, probably with negative thoughts. Runner starts, get the runner at second. You get it first out. McCutchen draws a walk. You get the game-tying hit and then from Brian Reynolds, and then the game winner from O'Neill Cruz, and the Pirates come back to win. Paul, at least they, Jared Jones pitched well, only went 5. We'll talk about his injury coming up. But, it was a gutsy win for them.
It was a good win for them. It absolutely was a good win for them. They need to validate it, though, by winning today. That's the biggest thing, They got to win the series now. But that was good. What are your thoughts? I'll tell you what I hate. I don't care that it shortens games and all the other garbage. Oh. I hate the thing where you put a second guy on second base.
It's a ghost runner.
Because at the end of the day, if you're the home team and you only need one run, you should be able to score a run every time just about. You know what I mean? Like, that's why even though they got down 4-3, I thought they got down 4-3. I think there was a one guy on, right? And that they struck out Goldschmidt. And I thought, if Goldschmidt, gets a hit here, I never think that, put it this way, I never think the visiting team, if they only score one run in the top of the inning, I never think they're going to win. I always think that it's going to be, at the very least, it's going to be tied at the end of the 10th. And then what happens is what happened with the Pirates. You get a you know, you get a couple of guys on. Now they got to play defense completely different, right? Because they could lose the game.
Well, there's a strategy of it, too. I mean, they try to have Michael A. Taylor bunt, and he strikes out because he fouls off the bunt. You know, you bunt a guy over to third, you should be able to bring somebody in. I'm with you, man. Listen, I know that they're trying to save pitchers or whatever. Isn't that part of the game? Like, if you've got to use somebody you don't normally have, and it wasn't that every extra inning game before the ghost runner went 15 innings.
Right.
They make it seem like all of these games happen all the time where we had to use all of our pitching staff. Well, here's another idea. Maybe expand the roster so you can add another pitcher. Or just deal with it. It's part of the strategy of the game. How are you going to be able to make up for the fact that you used your entire bullpen in this game? It's part of the strategy. It tests your depth. I'm with you, Paul. This ghost runner thing stinks.
Right, exactly.
I mean, what are we going to have a home run derby, like a shootout? We're going to have a home run derby to decide games if it gets past 11? Bring out your top three hitters, and whoever hits home runs, that's going to decide.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's always been my objection, too, about hockey. I'm not a fan of the three-on-three, but I get it. Okay, but why not just let the three-on-three play out? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let it play out. Give it 20 minutes. I guarantee in 20 minutes, 3-on-3, they're going to probably score one goal. But just make it 20 minutes, get rid of the shootout, which is just silly. And the other part of it is, you know, here it's the same thing. Okay, if it goes, I mean, realistically, I remember the year before the Pirates, the year before they went to the Ghost Runner thing. What, the Pirates have one? Maybe two games that went more than like 13 innings? Yeah. I mean, what are we talking about here? It's not like, you know, once a week they had like 19 inning games, right?
Right. Well, they had remember the one game in Atlanta that had the controversy?
Right.
It was, what, 19 inning game?
Right, yeah. I was there.
Were you really?
I covered it. Jerry Mills game, yes. I was there. I covered that game. My point is...
Oh, you poor...
Yeah, my point is those games are rare.
Here's the other thing about them. They're memorable.
Right. Right, of course. They're rare to me. And so, we changed all the rules because out of 162 games, maybe three times we had to go more than 13 innings. That's silly. I don't like it. I don't like it because to me it just completely changes the entire game in the way that you have to play. And you know, there's some strategy involved. I get all that stuff. But the other part of it is like the Ghost Runner, those runs shouldn't count on like the number of runs a guy scores.
Right. I mean, they don't count as earned runs for the pitcher.
Right.
So Chapman, you'll look at his box score and you'll see he didn't give up any runs and he earned runs.
Right.
And that's the reason why.
Right.
But
what I mean is whoever was the ghost runner at second, you didn't earn your way onto second. So why should you earn a run?
I don't think they actually do. I don't think it counts at all in the run column. Like it literally is just a ghost. There's no stat that gets recorded for that run scoring other than it's a tally in the overall runs column.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure.
Well, Triolo did get credited in the box score with a run.
So I was wrong, I'm sorry.
No. Now, do you want the RBI to count? I mean, you still have to drive in the guy.
You at least have to drive in a guy. And you know what? I don't have a problem with the RBI counting, but the run should count, but it shouldn't count on the individual, you know, who actually scored because he didn't do anything to get there. At least during the rest of the other nine innings, you have to find a way to get on base in order to score a run.
What do you think, Nicholas?
I agree with that. No, that makes sense. You put in an effort to drive in the run, that's fine. But you didn't get on base to get the run scored.
Should there be a runner at second base to start the 10th inning?
I think it was justifiable when it was put in because you didn't have a pitch clock back then. And so you wanted games to get done quicker because regulation was taking way too long. Now you have a pitch clock, games are being shortened immensely, and you still have the pitch clock and extras. So it doesn't make sense anymore.
Well, that, yeah. And also, I think the other part of it is there's not nearly as many of these kinds of games as people think, where you go 19 innings or 18 innings or whatever. The other part of it is with the proliferation or whatever the word is of being able to bring guys from Indy or Altoona or whatever. Okay, so say you unload your bullpen one day. I would actually be in favor of, if you have a game that goes, get rid of the second base thing. And if you have a game that goes like 13 or 14 innings, say 13 innings or more, you're allowed to bring two pitchers from the minors for the next 2 days, and they don't count towards your 26-man roster. So you can bring two pitchers up just to have two arms for your bullpen to reset for 2 days if you have like a 13 or 14 inning game.
And they don't count against when they become a free agent.
Exactly.
It's just like a free move, like they do for doubleheaders, where you're allowed to bring another player up.
Right.
Because you have a doubleheader. That makes a lot more sense. Let these guys settle it. Or I never understood this. Like, guys have side sessions, right? If you're really hurting, instead of a side session for Mitch Keller, well, he can come out and pitch an inning or two for you if you're really behind it. I mean, put it some strategy. Make these guys think about it. Put some nuance into the game that's unique. Something that's different. You don't want guys, blowing their arms out, but I don't know. Like, this, anything is better than that. But the Pirates found a way to get a win. Brian Reynolds with the hit to tie it as they pushed him over to the right side and then, had the lefty in for O'Neill Cruz. And Cruz, to his credit, he said his thought process was he wasn't going to screw around and he was going to look first pitch and was able to line it down the line. And so those are those guys that have to get going if this team is actually going to be some type of contender.
Right. Well, I mean, the biggest thing the Pirates have to do now is string wins together. They haven't won three in a row since early May. They do this thing where they win one or even win two. People get excited. Everybody's all excited now about Rowdy Tellez. But at the end of the day, if they don't win, start stringing wins together and actually making a move in the standings, all they've really done is tread water. I wrote a column for the Post-Gazette 2 days ago. It's uncanny, right? But like, I want to say, and of course, we've always got text message or a texter that has to, wrong again. So I preface this by saying I'm not looking at it in front of me, but I want to say on like May 6th, they were say 16 and 19. Then on like May 23rd, they were like, 25 and 28. Then on like June 7th, they were like, 32 and whatever, 35 or something. And today they are what?
41 and
44. 41 and 44. Three games under. Like, it's uncanny if you look at how many times over the last 2 months they've gotten to two games under and then lose. And they've gotten to four games under and then win. And it's like, just when you think, okay, four games under, like on Monday night, and even, until the bottom of the 10th inning last night, the bottom of the 10th inning, going into the bottom of the 10th inning, you're thinking, okay, now they're going to go five games under. But it's funny, if you look, if they go four games under, they win. If they go two games under, they lose.
I'm really disappointed too, because if they wouldn't have lost They'd look so much better if they wouldn't have lost those seven in a row back to like to end April and to begin May. And they haven't made up for that. And I agree, Paul, it's very frustrating to just watch them stay in the same place.
Right.
Because if they would go on even the slightest streak, if they would win five in a row, they'd be right back toward the top and maybe even have one of those wild card spots. The monotony of it is just so frustrating.
Well, I think that's the thing. You know, Jeff, when the last time they won three in a row was?
I don't know.
They were 5-0 to start the season. That's it. The first five games of the season is the last time they won three in a row.
And the thing is they've wasted, and I know Zangrilli has been, he tweets this out a lot and talks about it a lot, how many starts they wasted. I mean, Paul Skeens is 4-0. He could be 7-0 or more. And Jared Jones has 5 wins and 16 starts. To think that there are a few more wins out there if they just hit for average. And that's why when I look at this team and I'm like, are they just a team that's hanging around 500 with really no shot to do anything that you should invest in? Or is this a team that is hanging around? Because now with 3 wild card spots, it seems like if you're around 500, you and like 7 other teams are going to have a chance to have some playoff talk in September.
Right. I mean, I think that's the thing. If they had a chance, here's the fear. If they don't get on a run soon, and don't get moving, and they get closer to the trade deadline and they're still hovering around where they're at, I think the greatest fear is, you know, the front office basically and the ownership group saying, well, this isn't our year to go for it. This isn't our year to go all in. We're not there yet. We're not close. Next year, we're a year away. You know, next year will be our year. So we're not going to make any moves of significance to get better. And their entire trade deadline is, well, we traded Aroldis Chapman. We traded Perez. We traded maybe Marco Gonzalez to save a few bucks. And we brought back, you know, we also traded our 10th best prospect and a bag of balls for Jacob Stallings or something like that. And that's going to be their trade deadline. You know what I mean? Which, to be honest, if all of these other guys get off the DL, you know, with Holderman and Majinski and this Nicholas kid, I mean, you might be able to trade Aroldis Chapman and be okay. But I just the optics of it are terrible. You're basically selling when you've got an entire fan base that kind of is hoping that you're going to be buyers.
Well, here's another thing. Here are the teams in the wild card right now. You got the Braves and Padres. There's no argument, I don't think, that those are two playoff rosters. They've got superstars on teams. Right. They've got young superstars. Braves are contending even with the loss of their stud pitcher. I don't see them going away. So do you look at it as you could catch, right now it's the Cardinals or the Mets or the Diamondbacks or the Giants who are all in front of you, or the Reds that are a half game behind, or the Nationals that are a game behind, or the Cubs that are currently 2.5 behind. Like, do you have the roster, or can you make a move that can get you into that last playoff spot? And if you make a huge move and get into that last playoff spot, where are you going to go from there? Like, what's the risk of rolling the dice now? And what's the thought of, all right, we've got these young pitchers under control. We've got key players under control. We just need to be more aggressive in the offseason.
Right. That's what they're going to do. I think that's what they're going to do. I think, honestly, the more we go through this, the less I'm convinced they're going to go out and make moves. Like, make real moves. You know, forget about the Vlad Guerreros and all that right. stuff. Forget about that. There's no chance they do that. But I'm starting to become convinced, and of course we have on our show with Joe, you know, with Joe Starkey, we always have on Tuesdays, you know how Joe's got a nickname for everybody, Destiny's Child, who is Andrew Destin from the Post-Gazette. And he was actually making this whole this point that you and I are both basically saying is a real possibility, which is they look at their roster, you know, and if they're still, say, one or two games around, you know, maybe hovering maybe a little below 500, maybe they're, you know, okay. They look at their roster and they say, we're not quite ready to win. So because we're not quite ready to win, let's try and see if we can maybe get a couple of prospects for some of our guys and save some money so that we have more money to spend next year. And what we're going to sell our fans on is the idea that, you know, we've got a few more prospects now and some more money that we can, in the off season, go and try and acquire players either via trade or, you know, free agency, because we feel like next year is going to be our year, which I think is the absolute wrong approach.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Let's get into more of that as we continue. And what record or how far back of the wild card do the Pirates have to be at the end of the month to try to make a deal? And what are the challenges of that because of all the teams that are involved? It's 6:20 here on Independence Day. It's time to stop blindly paying those insurance and audio home premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. Jeff Hathorn, Paul Zeiss, Nicholas Callis, and for Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson here on the 4th of July.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Save up to 50% right now at our spectacular 4th of July sale. Blinds.com is the better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online. No hidden fees and no pushy salespeople in your home. Choose from premium blinds, shades, shutters, and more. We even have outdoor shades for backyard summer get-togethers. Do the measure and install yourself, or let Blinds.com handle it for you. No matter how many window coverings you order, installation is one low cost. Plus, our design experts are always ready to help you make the perfect selection with a free consultation. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you'll rest easy with Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com's spectacular 4th of July sale now. Save up to 50% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey everybody, Jeff Phelps here. The National Sports Collectors Convention is coming to Cleveland. And so is PSA's tradition for grading the show's finest. Submit your collectibles for on-site authentication over 5 days, starting July 24th, and see why PSA is number one in preserving and enhancing value for cards, tickets, packs, autographs, and memorabilia. More info at psacard.com. PSA, our label means more.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim. Located at the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of our six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of our massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Jeff Hathorn, Paul Zeiss, Nicholas Callis on Independence Day here in the Berg. Pirates, 12:35, and you'll hear it today right here on 93.7 The Fan. Pre-game starting at 11:30-ish. 11:40-ish. With the 12:35 first pitch. Martin Perez starts for the Pirates. Jared Jones started for the Bucks yesterday. And after five innings, you thought, all right, they're pulling him. They had skipped his last start. Now they're pulling him after 78 pitches. They're just doing this to save the arm. Then we find out after the game, we're sitting there, that Derek Shelton says there's a little bit of a lat issue.
Right. And what does that actually mean?
So he said Jones said he's not concerned. They use the extreme caution.
Right.
Jones, I think.
But wasn't a lat injury with Bednar at the beginning of the season?
Was. And a guy that's got that much torque that throws that hard, you wonder, you know, how is he going to, we'll find out over the next couple of days how, especially when he gets into a side session, you know, how he rebounds from this little lat tweak. That's not a word they used, is just lat issue. But he said he wasn't overly concerned about it after the game. And he said he could have continued if he needed to, but as he said, that would have been stupid.
Right.
Like, why take a chance?
Well, that tells me, it won't shock me. And of course, you know, I have to preface this by saying I'm not reporting it because somebody might get upset on the Twitter line. Here it is. So you figure this. He's listed to start twice more before the All-Star break. Would it shock you if they shut him down until the All-Star break?
It wouldn't shock me.
If he's got any soreness at all, he's not going to pitch.
Here's what Jared said after the game.
Is that something that's just going to be a evaluation moving forward, get more details on it, probably starting tomorrow?
Yeah.
Are you concerned about it?
No, I feel great. No, I mean, obviously not great, but it's nothing to be concerned with, I don't think.
You can continue pitching if you needed to?
I think that'd be really stupid, but yes, I could have.
I mean, listen, when a guy's sitting there in an interview in the locker room, like, you can't really read too much into his health, but there didn't seem to be an overwhelming amount of concern. But, Paul, to your point, they already skipped a start.
Right.
So is this your opportunity to A, use abundance of caution, and B, play into where now he can pitch until September because he gets a couple of rotations off? Here's the issue. There are no off days before the All-Star game.
Right.
And you got the Mets in town for four after the Cardinals today. Then you go to the Brewers. Now the White Sox stink, but you'd like to have your best starters out there, which obviously Jones is one of them, for what? I guess he would get the last of the Mets game and then a game against the White Sox. Maybe I don't know. I get what you're saying, but it's not like they can afford to just say, well, they're not the Brewers where they've got a 10-game lead and can just, well, we're just gonna roll somebody else out there.
Right, but the way that they're going to treat him and Skeens is different. And isn't Marco Gonzalez close?
He's starting to pitch.
He's starting to pitch. Quinn Priester, I saw through the other night. You can do the whole bullpen game thing. You know what I mean? So on Monday, That's weird. Why is a Monday 12:35 game? That's really weird.
Yeah, it's a four-game series, and it's not. I mean, I guess it's kind of holiday weekend, but
that's a weird.
And it's a scheduled. It's not a rain. Most of those times, right, it was an off day, and there was a rain out or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, you've got four different starting times for the Mets series: 6:40, 4:05, 1:35, and 12:35. Maybe they feel like they'll catch people, you know, taking a day off on Monday, coming off the holiday, and I don't know. It is a goofy series.
So I'm just saying, okay, so you skip that start to 12:35 start, and you go with Ortiz or whatever, the bullpen game thing. Okay, now you've bought an extra 5 or 6 days for Jones to get.
Well, then he would be scheduled to start the game before the All-Star break.
Right.
Then I guess you could do another bullpen game and empty out the bullpen because there is no game for the next week or at least four days.
Right. And then you bring, you know, now you've bought basically 2.5-3 weeks without putting him on the DL. You know? I mean, I'm just saying that's. I'm not saying that's what they're going to do, but they're going to exercise so much caution and they're going to be so careful that at the end of the day, it will not shock me. Will not shock me if that's how they go, where they decide basically to shut them down for until the All-Star break, just out of an abundance of caution.
You're at 91 innings right now. And I don't know if they've set an actual number of what they want to limit him to, but obviously he's not going to get to 200 because, you know, that's when your arm falls off number. But yeah, maybe that does make a lot of sense. But to that point, here you are in the wild card chase, and you could potentially be without one of your key starters. You're three games out. Where do you need to be? If one of those guys is dangled out there, if Guerrero's dangled out there and they're asking for the world, you don't think Pete Alonso's going to get traded now because the Mets are back in it. So that talk or thought process seems to have gone out the window. And here's the other thing, Paulie, when you're dealing with this trade deadline, Miami and Colorado, those are the only two teams out of it in the National League.
Right. Maybe the Cubs.
That's it. Yeah, but they're only six back, and they were running high before they've swooned here.
Yeah, they've completely tanked.
And then in the American League, I mean, the Rangers and Blue Jays don't look like, even though the Rangers won it last year, teams. But if you're the Rangers, you're probably thinking, "Oh, we've got this miracle left in us." Blue Jays are probably out of it. The Angels, A's, and White Sox. Now, if the teams were that good, they would have a lot of good players you could pick from.
Right.
But obviously they don't have a lot of good players, which is why they're sitting in the position they are. But the competition to try to pick off one of those really good players is huge, not just in the National League, but all the teams that are in you know, Boston, Houston, Tampa, that are in this wild card race, along with Kansas City and the Twins. I mean, right now the Yankees are the wild card. Baltimore and New York are getting in the playoffs, so one of those wild card teams is going to be spoken for. But I mean, Boston gets desperate; they're going to offer more than anything the Pirates can. When you think, I mean, that's where when people say, "Oh, get Vlad Guerrero or get this pitcher," well, there's 10 other teams that are also thinking about guys like that, and maybe their playoff positioning is, you know, really is one player away.
Yeah.
So where do you have to be to try to make some kind of blockbuster deal and go all in this year?
Well, I mean, I would say that's just it. I don't even know if it necessarily has to be a blockbuster deal. You're probably not going to get Vladimir Guerrero. You know, you're just probably not. That's probably unrealistic for the Pirates. But, I mean, there are deals to be had for, you know, maybe one of the outfielders. There's like one of the two outfielders that probably is going to be available from the Marlins. You know, like we said earlier, Jacob Stallings is probably going to be available. I mean, there are areas where you can get a little bit better without going all in. I just don't know what the I just don't know that he, that that's even in the cards for the Pirates, to be honest. Honestly.
Do you think Rowdy Tellez, as good as his month of June and start of July has been, does that make the Pirates sit back and think, well, if Rowdy could do it, Cabrian can do it?
Well, they've already said that. They've already said as much, that their internal options getting better is a far more viable and realistic plan than going out and getting others. You know what I mean?
But because of Rowdy, does that make it not laughable and make it like, hey, they were right with their first baseman. They could be right with Hayes. They could be right with Sawinski. That these guys are going to turn it around.
They could be right with them. You know what I mean? But if they're not, they're going to have a lot of explaining to do.
The tough thing is you're so desperate for a winner here.
Right.
It's been so long.
Right.
Sometimes you see this opportunity being three games out on July 4th of a playoff spot, and you want them to go all in, but and they've got a lot of these guys under control. No guarantees. Injuries can happen. It may not work out the same way. I get all of that. But is it now the time, or do they need to spend that money in the offseason where they're not giving up a Bubba Chandler, Tamar Johnson? Not that I'm against giving up prospects. That's why so many of these franchises succeed. They use prospects, for the most part, as trade bait to get better players.
Well, again, I think that's going to be the most interesting thing, is how many, if any, of their prospects are they going to be willing to part with? Because I don't think there's any way in heck that we're going to see any of their top prospects be traded. I mean, Tamar Johnson is no chance, right? Bubba Chandler, no chance. Solomato, probably no chance. Ashcraft, probably no chance. You know, Harrington, probably no chance, but maybe. If the right deal comes down, he might be, you know, the best prospect the Pirates have that has a chance to be traded.
I'd trade Priester, but I don't know what you'd get for him.
I would trade Henry Davis.
But what's his value right now?
I mean, but I think it's probably higher than it's going to be. Someone is probably still going to take a chance on a guy, you know? I might trade Sawinski, too, if because he's a young guy that's got power. Young left-handed bat's got power. There might be a team that might be willing to overpay for him. Those are guys that they will not trade, though. But, like, for instance, you've got Mitch Jebb, Sung Che Cheng, and Jack Brannigan, basically three shortstop middle infielder types among your top 10 prospects. Why do you need all three of them?
Well, their hitting prospects are dismal.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty much Tamar Johnson. I mean, this McAdoo kid, I think he was 11th or 12th rounder. He's having a nice year. But he look at the double-A hitting.
Right.
There's nothing there. And in AAA, Gorski, I mean, you know, there was all this to-do about Josh Palacios coming up, as if, you know, he were the hitting equivalent of Paul Skeens.
Right.
No, he's a kind of a journeyman quad-A outfielder that couldn't win a roster spot in spring training. I mean, they just don't – there isn't that – well, they have a couple of – you mentioned a couple of the pitchers there, especially Chandler is pitching lights out. I think he pitched 8 innings, 2 hits last night, shutout for Altoona. There is no magic hitter.
And the funny thing about the whole thing with Palacios, if it's really as simple as they were going to bring him up, and then Sawinski went 3-for-3 and had a home run, And so they said, well, we're going to give Swinski another couple of days. Okay, first of all, that's absurd. They should have basically just brought up Palacios on Monday, sent Swinski down. But the other part of it is, I have yet to hear one single person, other than Zangrilli, make a case for why DFA Michael A. Taylor wasn't the move. In other words, Palacios, you're coming up. Either we're going to send Swinski down, or we're going to DFA Michael A. Taylor.
Well, Paul, you know, they don't do that. Come on now.
Right.
We got to trust people. We got to be patient.
Be patient, yes.
Well, and that comes back to because Rowdy had the big month and is off to a good start, are they now going to think with any of these other guys, well, you know what, Michael A. Taylor's, he's got that in him.
I don't think they're using Telez as the bar. I think they just blindly think that overall with any player. And we'll just wait.
Listen, the guy can play defense.
They've had that notion this whole season. It's not just because one guy is starting to do better.
He's a really good defender. But if I have options, if you're going to stay internal, you know, either Palacios or giving Bay another chance. And Bay's been...
Jason?
Or G1.
Oh.
But hell, Jason Bay could bring that power
that's
that you've
what
been
I'm
looking
saying.
For.
Hell, I'd rather see Jason Bay, however old he is, I'd rather see him than pretty much every name that we've thrown out here right now.
Look at the tickets he'd sell if they actually did that. That's funny.
I mean, Michael A. Taylor right now, his slash line is 190, 243, 247. He's an outfielder with speed. You presume that he, you know, is going to be able to do some damage when he gets on base, except for he never gets on base. 243. That's what his on-base percentage is. His OPS is 490. He's as close to a useless hitter as there is in your lineup. And the bottom line with him is, and I don't care what anybody says, this dude should never, ever take another at-bat unless he was put in the game as a defensive replacement late and somehow his place in the order came up. They should put him in the game the way they used to do
it. Like last night.
They should put him in the game the way that they used to put pitchers in the game whenever pitchers hit. Remember? So, okay, you're the last guy in the lineup, which means, you know, you're the one that made the final out. You come out.
You're going to bat fifth.
We're putting the pitcher in your spot. That way we have entire – that's how he should be put in. I mean, 243, for God's sakes. And at the end of the day, I'm looking at it, the only people who are worse – in getting on base, speaking of another useless guy, Grandal, and I'm convinced is stealing money. He's just getting a paycheck. You know what I mean? I don't even know. It feels like he's just going through the motions at this point. But Grandal, his slash line doesn't even feel like it's real. 174, 207. 207! 261, 467 OPS. But the only two guys worse at getting on base than Michael A. Taylor are Alika Williams and Yasmani Grandal. Oh, I'm sorry, and Grant Cook, or whatever his name was. Grant Cook, Coach, Cook, whatever the hell his name was. The catcher. Those are the only three guys that are worse at getting on base than Michael A. Taylor. Think about that.
Well, and... in May, Telez's line looked like that. So are they, again, does the Telez thing buy these other guys time? Now, they have issues at catcher. I get maybe why they have Grandal. You can't have Cook coming up. I mean, he was just overmatched at this level. At least Grandal has done something in this game and maybe can help a pitcher. Henry Davis, you never know with a concussion. I mean, he's around the team right now, but the last time he went down to AAA, couldn't hit anything, or AA, couldn't hit anything.
No.
So he's going to need some time. That Andy Rodriguez injury really hurt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, if they had Rodriguez, they wouldn't have had to make the Grandal move at all. They wouldn't have had to acquire Joey Bart.
Who, for what he is, hasn't been horrific.
He's been all right.
You know what I mean?
Not a high bar.
He's fine. I mean, 239, 325, 463, but is that going to continue is the question. By the same token, he's Johnny Bench compared to the rest of the guys they've had at catcher, if you think about it. Yeah. I mean, what's Joe's nickname for the human rain delay is what he calls it. The human rain delay. That's the thing about working with Joe.
Everybody's got a nickname.
It took me about a month to figure out who the hell he was talking about when he threw out all these names. You know what I'm saying? And like, for instance, we got the two producers, Joel Nelson and what's his name? Charles
Nelson Riley. Charlie Borges.
Charlie Borges, yeah. They're both nicknamed Nelly, so according to Joe. So I was like, who the hell is Nelly? Right? But he kept referring to the human rain delay, and it took me a while to figure out he was talking about Jason Delay. I'm like, who is he talking about? Which, by the way, who the hell is T-Bird? I'm driving around yesterday, and I'm like, you know, I actually missed the actual contest. I turn it on at about 3:20, and I hear them talking about how T-Bird won the hot dog. Who the hell is T-Bird?
His real name is Tom. Do you remember Tom Nolfi, the original T-Bird?
Remember Tom Nolfi, yes.
So,
that's my guy.
So Joe just gave the nickname to this Tom because they both have the same name. Right, that's all. Yeah.
You mentioned that. It was a first annual event. Mm-hmm. Let's hear how it all went down. The hot dog eating contest.
From my perspective?
We're going to hear about it coming up.
Okay, gotcha.
Fan morning show brought to you.
Hold on. Before you do that, real quick.
By Guardian
I'm
Protection.
I'm still confused. Who the hell is T-Bird?
He was hired
a remote
month
producer.
Or two ago. He's an on-site producer and an engineer. He works.
What does he look like?
He looks very. He blends in well. I don't know. He's got glasses.
Well, he's got a cup now. He's
got long hair, but he slicks it back a lot.
Oh, I think I know who
this
guy is.
And he's very softly spoken.
You've
probably seen him around.
I think I know who he might be. Because really, when I was looking at the video, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but I was like, the only person, like, I thought, what's the tall kid's name, Sean?
Sean, don't call me Seth Myers.
Yeah, him, right? Yeah. And I was like, is his nickname T-Bird?
No.
And I didn't know it?
It's don't call me Seth Myers.
All right. I digress.
We're about to hit the 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We'll hear that exciting conclusion and figure out, Nicholas, what happened? We'll discuss that as we continue. It's Fan Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. HM3 Partners Independence Fund presents Celebrity Care Fest. It benefits UPMC Children's Hospital Foundation. Two nights of star-studded entertainment, July 26th and 27th. Pat Benatar, Smokey Robinson, and a superstar artist so big, we can't even say him yet, or her. Learn who it is at hm3.org. Tickets on sale at hm3.org. They've had so many different artists come through there. Chicago played there, Nicholas, a few years ago, and it was awesome. I mean, to hear them in person with all the horns, like it was so much fun. You can check that out, hm3.org. Pat Benatar, Smokey Robinson, a random superstar artist that we don't know of yet. That sounds like a lot of fun. You guys had a lot of fun yesterday. the first ever PM team hot dog eating contest. And here is how it all went down.
Cal is shaking his head no!
Seth Davis.
9, 8, 7.
Here they come. 6. He still has a bite left.
He just lost his lunch.
Callis has thrown up.
Oh my God.
Well, but T-Bird is the winner with 6 hot dogs.
Well, now.
All right, Nicholas. So now that you're here, you've had a little time to digest this and other things. What happened?
So they were quarter pound hot dogs, and nobody really expected that. And when I looked at them, I was like, oh, this is. Yeah, this is going to be a lot. And so I didn't eat anything that day. I just had apple juice because I wanted to get a little sugar in me, but I figure an empty stomach would increase my appetite. And I was the first to 4. So I got through 3 of them pretty strongly. The 4th one was a slight struggle. The 5th one, though, was rough. And they tasted bad after that. They were great hot dogs, but you eat 5 of them in that time. And I was just, I felt like I was going to throw up.
Were you doing the hot dog in the bun or were you doing it separately?
I held the wiener in one hand and the bun in the other. Oh, that sounds, put it in the right context. All right, Jeff, yeah. I'm sorry. But that's what I did. The hot dog was in one hand, the bun was in the other. And I ate them kind of together, but in separate hands, and I would down a bunch of water to kind of dissolve it in my mouth because I didn't want to waste time dipping it. The problem, I think, with that, though, was that I was intaking too much water over time, and I think that's where my gag reflex was starting to come in. I chose early speed over pace, and that's what happened. And
did you get overconfident?
No, I don't
think.
Were
you feeling it halfway through? Like, hey, I got this.
No, I didn't slow down because I thought I was confident that I was going to win. No, I slowed down because I thought I was going to throw up. And I said that in my post-game interview. I chose to not be on social media throwing up. I chose, you know what, 5's fine.
Chose dignity.
Yeah, I chose a little dignity in there. I'm like, yeah, I mean.
If there is such a thing in a hot dog eating contest.
Right, and I even told the guys too beforehand. I'm like, listen, I'm the favorite in this. And even I will listen to my body in certain circumstances, and I just did not want to throw up. Now, what they thought was me throwing up at the end, I had a hot dog and I was chewing it in my mouth. I still had like a bite to go that was on the plate, but like there was that portion of my mouth that I didn't want to swallow because then I thought I was going to throw up eating that too. So as soon as the clock like struck, I went over and I just spit out what was in my mouth. It wasn't a throw up. It was just, I'm not eating this because it means nothing at this point.
So did it tick you off? That, like, Dom just, like, ate a hot dog like he was eating a hot dog at some kind of random meal.
No. Dom pisses me off for a lot of reasons in just, you know, his existence. But this one in particular was, he just makes bad decisions that are hilarious. Did you hear what he did before? The night before? He went into practice the night before.
Yeah, that's...
He ate 6 hot dogs, and they all had pickle and relish and condiments on them.
So... I guess T-Bird ate chia seeds, which he had done some studying about what you need to do beforehand.
Yeah, those he ate a lot of foods that give you natural energy, like the chia seeds. He was drinking a lot of water, and he had something with sugar in it too. But yeah, I mean, he ate a lot of natural, healthy foods for you that give you the energy that you need, and I think helped expand his stomach over a short amount of time there. And, you know, when you have it in you at first, I mean, I was consuming too much in the moment. He was so pre-prepared, or just prepared, I think that's the word. He was prepared to take it down. And he was an underdog. He had the third best odds, I think, third or fourth best odds. Yeah, I mean, he did it right. I think he had the best preparation out of any of us that competed there.
You guys get anything for second place?
Nope.
You and Donnie?
Nope.
Just the dignity of not throwing up on camera.
I'm happy Donnie and I tied. I think it was a It was very interesting, and I'm glad that we kind of tied because everybody was like, it's going to be those two down to the wire, and it actually was. I got to five first, and then I just kind of like tapped out, and Donnie had a nice methodical approach to get himself to five, but then Tom just T-Bird. He didn't have a Twitter account, by the way. People were asking for it. They wanted to congratulate him, and they couldn't because he's not prominent on social media.
Wow.
Yeah. But he did it the right way, man. He paced himself well, and he prepared
properly. So the new guy comes through.
Mm-hmm.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's Chevy summertime at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Save up to 50% right now at our spectacular 4th of July sale. Blinds.com is the better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online. No hidden fees and no pushy salespeople in your home. Choose from premium blinds, shades, shutters, and more. We even have outdoor shades for backyard summer get-togethers. Do the measure and install yourself, or let Blinds.com handle it for you. No matter how many window coverings you order, installation is one low cost. Plus, our design experts are always ready to help you make the perfect selection with a free consultation. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you'll rest easy with Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com's spectacular 4th of July sale now. Save up to 50% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Dive into a world of electrifying anime excitement with Hulu Anime Mayhem, your anime destination. Unleash the mayhem with Hulu's huge curated collection of anime shows, from legendary classics like Naruto Shippuden, Dragon Ball Z Kai, and Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, to the latest sizzling releases like Sandland, Mission Yosakura Family, and tons more.
Why are you fixated on me?
Because you're my friend.
That's right. Get fixated and get your anime fix with Hulu Anime Mayhem, your anime destination.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.